Well, let's begin this morning, if we may. Father, we thank you that we can pray, and Lord, help me to shut my mouth about everything else other than just to pray to you and let you handle all of these things, Lord. And we have another prayer in the morning this morning, another prayer of Hezekiah, great king, but we see also the frailty in him as a man, and may we learn from what he did right and what he did wrong. And so, Lord, guide us now in this time of prayer, in Jesus' name. We're in another prayer this morning. If you turn to 2 Kings chapter 20, this is the third prayer in a row we've had of Hezekiah. So another prayer this morning. I just wanted to ask you to think, if you would, of a time, or maybe the time in your life when God did the greatest miracle in your life. Maybe the miracle great enough that others knew about it. When they came to you to, in a sense, congratulate you for the miracle, how did you handle it? I think one of the great lessons in this morning's prayer with Hezekiah is exactly that. There's some great things that this man did that we read last week or the week before. I can't remember that he was one of the best kings of Judah. He did what his father David had done more than any kings after him. He tore down the holy places. Just good things to say about Hezekiah. So keep that in mind as we read today's prayer. And we have moved on now. Last time we talked about the 185,000 being killed by the angel of the Lord in one night. And now we have the very next paragraph here of what's happening. Or not quite the next paragraph, but close to it. And we have Hezekiah sick. Now, it would appear in his prayer that this might have occurred before the 185,000 were slaughtered. It might indeed have occurred just in time of the siege, because God answers his prayer and in part that he would spare the city. And so we don't know exactly the timing here. Not every single thing in the Bible is exactly chronological. Chronologically given. But in verse 35 of chapter 19, it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And then a couple of verses later, in the first verse of chapter 20, we read, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death." So it's probably the days of the siege, and probably a little bit before the angel of the Lord came. "And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, that you should die and not live.'" What would your response be if you, maybe not through Isaiah, but maybe through a doctor, were told, "Set your house in order, you're going to die"? What would your reaction be? Would it be one of prayer? Would it be one of panic? Would it be one of saying, "Oh no, oh no, oh no"? What would it be? Well, we remember, or we see here, that Hezekiah prayed right off the bat, it would appear. At least that's all we're told in verse 2. "Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying..." Now, you'll remember the first couple of prayers we had the last couple of times when the Rabshakeh came with his letter and all, we know he did the right thing. He read it, he spread it, and he went into the house of the Lord to pray. But he called on the prophet Isaiah, and he really let Isaiah do the praying. But here now, he prays himself. He may be too sick to go to the house of the Lord, so he just turns his face toward the wall, and he prays to the Lord. Good thing. Good first thing to do. Good middle thing to do. Good last thing to do. And this prayer, as he begins it, I think is great for the Old Testament saints. I don't think it's good for us, and we'll see why. He says, "Remember now, Lord, I pray how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." You know, as I look at that prayer, I say, what a selfish, self-centered prayer that is. I think it would be for us today. But in the Old Testament, before Jesus had come, You know, in Leviticus 24, I think it is, and in Deuteronomy 28, there is all the if-thens, the if-thens. If you do well, then the Lord will bless you. If you keep my law, then the Lord will bless you. And so you see in throughout the Psalms where David is saying, Lord, I have kept this, I have done this, I have done that. And there is the if-then, if-then, if-then. Now, you know, in the New Covenant now, Jesus has come, and he's the if, right? He's taken it away. We're not blessed because of the good things we do, although he will bless us. But we're blessed because of the good things that Jesus did, right? And so it's not based on my good merits that I pray, Lord, answer my prayer because I'm good. God forbid I would say that. But answer my prayer because I come to you, what? In the name of Jesus, right? In the name of Jesus. So don't come down too hard on Hezekiah here and thinking he's just this pompous, self-centered guy, because he's trying to stress, Lord, I have kept your word. I have been obedient to you. And I stand on your promise for blessings that if I do this, you will bless. If then. And so he says, remember this. But he has his emotions here too. He weeps bitterly. He's weeping bitterly. We think he's probably 39 years old at this point. He has not had any children as far as we know, at least hasn't had any sons as far as we know. And he now, it says, it happened before Isaiah had gone to the middle court. And so this is Isaiah has come to him now and given him the message. He prays. Isaiah leaves somewhere in this era of time. And before Isaiah had even gotten out of the premises there, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. So there was a very quick answer to that prayer, it would seem. Verse 5, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people. He's referring to him now as the king of Israel, the leader of my people. Thus says the Lord, Yahweh, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. Now there's some speculation that the 185,000 may have been killed by an immediate plague, and that Hezekiah may have contacted this same illness of some kind. We don't know. Whatever it is, he's got an illness to death, it would seem. But now the Lord says, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. So he can't go to the house of the Lord now. He's too sick. But God promises in 3 days you're going to be healed, and healed enough so you can go up to the house of the Lord. And now he says, I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the land, or from the land, from the hand of the king of Assyria. So there's a twofold answer here. One, he's going to give him, he's going to heal him and give him more years. And the other is that he's going to defend the city. And it may be that one of the reasons Hezekiah, being a good king, was so concerned about dying is that what would happen to the beloved city of Jerusalem if he as the king were taken out right now in such a dangerous time. At any rate, God answered the prayer. We also see kind of a little bit of a hint it's okay to go to a doctor here, because then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. So whatever his sickness was, it had something to do with a boil, tumor, whatever it was. And there was some medical thing here to a degree, certainly a natural thing, you would think, figs. But he took it and laid it on the boil. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, now after all this great promise, he's asking for a sign. And, you know, that pretty gutsy guy, really. I would have been just so, well, I don't know. I'd probably said, yeah, Lord, give me a sign. I don't know whether I can believe you or not. But anyway, he says, what is the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? And God answers. Isaiah says, this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. The sign, shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? That's on the sundial that's right there in the area where he was. And Hezekiah answered, it's an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow go back 10 degrees. Now, for you scientific minds, if you can figure out how God did that, let us know, because nobody can figure out God anyway. But that would almost mean that the earth had to stop its rotation and go backward. But whatever, however the Lord did it, he did it. So Isaiah, he said, no, but let the shadow go back 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. Tremendous miracle here, isn't it? A tremendous miracle of healing him and giving him more life. A tremendous miracle of having the sundial go backward, probably at least to 45 minutes, maybe as much as a couple of hours, giving him even more time, right? 15 years plus a couple of hours, right? But now notice what happens. Up to this point, Hezekiah is doing great. He goes to the Lord in times of emergency. He prays to the Lord. He consults a prophet. He's obedient to the Lord, and the Lord is blessing him. But now he falls, the one tragic fall in his life, and his pride. He has visitors from a far land, in this case from Babylon. Babylon is not yet a world power. It's going to be a world power, but it's not yet. But it's still a major country. So when you get the leaders from a major country call on you, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? So Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, so now this is the king's son, sends letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick, and they came to visit. And Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices, precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show him. Now, if we go over to Chronicles, we read, and his heart was lifted up in pride, and it brought the wrath of God on him and on Israel. Then the good news is, then Hezekiah humbled himself, and God responded by saying, okay, my wrath will not fall on you during your lifetime. But the thing to me that's interesting is, he survived all of the tough times, but when times really went over the top with blessings, instead of giving God the glory, he took the glory. So be really careful when we are blessed by the Lord, and we are so blessed. Be really careful about the great blessing of grace, that we have eternal life, that somehow we look to those who don't have eternal life yet because they don't believe, as being inferior to us. Oh, I'm a righteous, a holy man. I'm saved, and you're just nothing but a unsaved sinner. So don't get lifted up in pride is one of the things that I would like to think we could come out of this morning's meditation with. Go to the Lord quickly in prayer. That's good. Don't panic on bad news, but go to the Lord, put it in his hands, and sing what his plan for us is. And we're clay in his hands, are we not? Is he not the potter? We're not the potter. I would be very careful about asking for more life, other than, I want the full number of days that you've given me, Lord. And this extra 15 years brought about the birth of Manasseh, who became king in Hezekiah's death. He was the worst king that Israel ever had, also reigned the longest of any of them. He did humble himself at the end, though, and came to the Lord, which was good. So the Lord's mercy continues to be shown. Be careful of pride. Be careful to lift up the Lord in glory and magnify him for our many blessings. Father, we thank you for the prayer today, and we thank you for this opportunity to come to you in prayer. Now lead us and guide us in these moments, Lord, and help us to use these moments responsively and attentively to your leading, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.